Good day and welcome to today's Q1 report call. And I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Thomas Widstrand. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you for calling in. As usual, I will try to present this quarter development, and you will have the opportunity also by the end of the presentation or towards the end to ask some questions if you're interested. So I will, for those of you who have followed me before, I will follow the same sort of agenda or presentation mode that we've been into before. And you can find on this presentation what is called Q1 2021 in our homepage, troax.com, under the headline Investors. And under Investors, you will find it then under Presentations. And obviously then we talk about Q1 2021, so I will follow that structure. But even if you don't have it, I think you will be able to follow roughly what I'm trying to say. So I'll start by introducing then the Q1 and say we are, of course, trying to convey the message of stay safe, not only because it's a pandemic and we are still trying to keep safe until hopefully different vaccination, etc., has a positive impact on the society, but also, of course, that this is what we do, this is our business idea, that we help people to stay safe in factories and different sort of working places all over the world. We are working with three different segments, and I'll very quickly go through that. The first and biggest one is what we call machine guarding, and for those of you who have had the presentation, you will find the photo which shows then the typical examples of an installation then where we use the type of machine guarding for. Could be robots, could be packaging machines, or could be conveyor systems, as I said, or something else, but the principle is that you protect people, or in some cases you also protect, of course, the process. This machine guarding is approximately 65% of our turnover, and the growth rate in this, so I'll come back to this a little bit later, but it's of course very much depending on the continued automation and mechanization in the world, driven not only, but of course to a main part is driven by the increased use of robots in the world. Next segment or next page you find is what we call warehouse partitioning. It's a little bit more than 20%. And in this page you have what we call the more traditional warehouses where you build up a number of pallet racks and you have a forklift trucks who is driving around and picking up goods and delivering it to somewhere who is picking and packing and sending it off. And this is something which is becoming more and more interesting to mechanize at the moment, and I'll come back to you in a second because that's a part which is growing very much for us. The third, and also the smaller segment, but nevertheless quite important, is approximately 14%. We call it storage solutions, and it's primarily an European process where you, of course, then as you see from the picture, you are safeguarding then bicycles, luggage, skis, or whatever you have that you want to store, and you can't keep it in your flat, which normally is then part of a multi-story building. As I said, and I go to the next page, as I said, we have something which we call an automated warehouse, which has been growing substantially in the last couple of years, which actually for us then is a combination of what we do in machine guarding and also in the warehouse partitioning side. And this is obviously driven then by the e-commerce, where people like you and I, we're of course increasing our purchases from different e-commerce companies, and obviously that creates the demand for making a lot of picking and packing more automated. And as you see from this picture here, this is a typical example, I would say, where you see then that this kind of picking and packing is to main extent automated, and there are very few people involved, even if there are people involved, of course, because you need to protect them from things for falling down, or you have to protect them when you start to make maintenance, and then you don't want obviously to close down the whole site. You only want to close down perhaps the aisle where you make the maintenance. Obviously there's a need for our kind of protection that we offer as a good solution for these installations. Very, very brief on 2020, we passed that, but if you've been following us, you know then that despite the COVID situation, we managed to get an increase in order last year. We didn't do that in sales invoice, which obviously had a negative effect on the operating profit and also on the margin. But nevertheless, we think we came out of last year with a decent development, seeing the circumstances. On the middle of this page, you see the split up of our geographical, in our geographical areas. And as you can see, we are still quite dependent on Europe, which is some 80% of our turnover. We've got North America coming up with 15% now, and also what we call new markets, which is primarily, of course, the APAC region, which is, let's call it 5%. So, of course, we are still, as I said, quite dependent on Europe, which still is something which we try over time, of course, to change a little bit the balancing. Next page is called the year in brief, and as you know, we are a growth company, but the last couple of years we've not been growing so much, which is primarily, I would say, connected with the fact that we used to be quite dependent on the automotive industry. And the automotive industry has not had a lot of investment going on in the last couple of years, which of course had an impact on us. On the other hand, we've been growing a lot and compensating this and a bit more with the growth than in automated warehouses. So we're still looking quite positive towards growth in the coming year, even if, of course, it is so that for a single year it could even be a decrease in turnover. But we're normally saying then that over a business cycle, our historical growth has been some 8, 9, maybe 10% per year. And without giving any forecast, that's probably something which is possible to do also in the future. Next page is called financial targets. And I think we have covered most of that. We have, if you come down to the third bullet point, capital structure. We have quite a good balance sheet, so our net debt in relation to EBITDA should not exceed 2.5 times, and per end of last year we were at 1.4, so it's quite stable, and therefore also we decided, which actually has been just decided by the annual meeting, that pay out approximately 52% of our net profit as dividend. Now I'm coming into much more the summary of the Q1, and we are quite happy to say that it continued with a quite good order trend, similar to the development in Q4 2020. It was perhaps even stronger in the Q1. And the main explanation for this is what we call the continuous strong development within automated warehouses, where a number of big players are substantially increasing the investments. And even if we are not the biggest supplier to this kind of installation, I think we can say that we are quite important, because of course we help them with the safety solution. So for them it's also quite important to get a good level of safety, obviously. Due to the good, of course, good orders, and in the later stages also the invoicing, we got quite a good improvement of the EBIT result, the margin in Q1 compared with same quarter last year. We could still see some negative effects of the coronavirus during Q1, but nevertheless, I think due to the good volume development, we could secure them a substantial improvement in results. If we look at the different geographical levels, I can summarize and say there were good sales levels in actually most markets. And that was reflecting also, of course, good activity in Q1, where we also could see at least that smaller and medium-sized companies started to become more active, I would say, in the market compared with last year. So it's probably too early to say then that the marketing is opening up. But what we could see during Q1 was a bit better activity than Q4 and Q3 last year. I think that is a clear message, nevertheless. There was, of course, also good sales level in Q1, because we turned a big part of the order level that we have in Q4 in 2020 into sales invoice. Obviously, that is a direct connection. By this, we also created, and I would say, a good development of the earnings per share. So we reached some 0.14 euro this quarter, and the corresponding period last year was 0.08 euro. So it was, I would say, it's a good improvement on earnings per share. Normally, I'm also commenting a little bit about the development in North America since we had some problems with the acquisition we did a couple of years ago in the company Folding Guard. But we can say that the improvement process continued in Q1 with increased productivity and increased turnover. And this, of course, created a better result, which is, I would say, also substantially improved compared to 2020 and 2019. Regarding working capital, I would say it's on the expected level. We are a little bit higher on the inventory side, but actually we are quite happy with that because due to some corona effects, could be delays in deliveries from component suppliers or raw material suppliers. We are trying to keep a bit higher stock or inventory in order then to safeguard that we can do deliveries to customers, obviously. Jumping over to a few comments regarding our manufacturing units, I would say that for the first quarter, we can comment on that all units within the group, as we write here, we had a good development in Q1. They all had good volumes. What has been obviously a problem, and it's a bit turbulent, is the steel price. And we expect that to continue like that in the coming quarters, even, of course, that we hope, and the expert expect that this will, of course, level out at a certain time. But we have not seen that as per end of Q1. And if you read the newspapers, you see that there are more, of course, threats about increasing steel price. So we have a feeling that this could be still continue to be turbulent for some time. Our prices have obviously been adjusted to reflect this, but as turbulent as it is today, it's of course difficult to short term to compensate for this. So there will normally be a bit of a time lag between then that we get some sort of raw material increase and then we can compensate us from increasing prices to customers. Talking a little bit about other types of segments, we are normally commenting a bit on the automotive. It's still continuing to be, from a figure point of view, still a weak segment, but we could see some orders coming in the first quarter. We see in the U.S., for instance, that who are probably a bit before in the process or in the cycle compared to Europe, that the car industry there or the automotive industry is planning a little bit earlier to do bigger investments, and that, of course, have a certain effect also on Troax, which is positive. And hopefully that will come into effect also in other areas. But for the first quarter, it was not really a booming, and we expect this to slowly come back to not perhaps all times levels, but at least a better level than today. But it won't be until the end of 2021 or perhaps more likely into 2022. Regarding our newly acquired company in Poland called Natom Logistics, they've had a very good development in the first months. And it's, of course, good to see that they have had good inflow orders, mainly, of course, within the warehouse segment, which is primarily where they are working. And we would like to inform also then that we have, during the quarter, invested in a complete new facility for us outside of Poznan, where we intend to merge the two existing manufacturing units in Poland into one during this year and also next year. So we do intend to continue to invest, so to speak, in Natom in order to get it both to increase the manufacturing capacity, but also to get it an even more efficient unit for the future. Coming to next date, which is the financial highlights. I guess most of you have read this. I won't go through this in detail, but of course there's a substantial increase of order intake and also sales, and I will comment a bit more on that on the next page where we see the geographical development. The gross margin is on a stable level, which it should, because of the good volume development, even if we think ourselves that it's been a little bit hampered, and of course by the fact that the steel prices have increased during this quarter. So then, having already discussed on the earnings per share, and indirectly I've talked about the operating margin, which then is approximately 20% for the quarter compared to, let's say, 16 last year, we can just conclude and say it was quite an improved result then for the first three quarters, which is, of course, a good start of the year, and we're very happy for that. Regarding the regional development, you can find that on the next page, and where you can see that there are quite strong figures in some areas. I would say it's very stable and quite promising figures, especially in the more mature markets like the continental Europe and the Nordic region, where we have plus 11 and plus 7 respectively in orders, showing then a better activity level, and I would say also a very good job done by our own organizations. We can see actually in Southern Europe that they've been probably more hit by the pandemic effects, and they have not really recovered from that. So I think it will still take some time before they perhaps increase the pace generally in the market compared to other parts of the region. And then, as you see, we've got very strong figures both in UK, North America, and new markets. And I normally talk about the bigger project orders, which doesn't come in every day. And this quarter, we've had a number of these bigger project orders, which are aimed both for North America and indirectly for UK, even if UK normally also gets some export from UK, so you cannot just compare and say it's that the market of UK is so good, because in our organization we're also exporting some volumes from the UK to other parts of the world. But what is interesting is that also the new markets have got some bigger type of orders, which is a good sign, of course, for the future. And that means then that we are increasing these rather small figures to a little bit bigger, and that's what we intend to continue to do, obviously. And then, of course, we have the acquisition, meaning Folengard, which, of course, adds, so that, of course, gives them a substantial higher figure in orders. So if you exclude that, we can say then that there's been an increase in the quarter of 29%, which is, of course, quite good. It's not really been reflected to the same extent in sales. If you go further down on the page, you find that the 29% then in organic growth on orders is 19% then on the sales side. So it shows then that we still have higher order intake than sales, which means that, of course, we have ended the quarter with a very good order backlog, and that there are good possibilities to continue to increase the sales invoice in the months or quarters to come. Currency effect or not, I would say, substantial, so that has a certain effect, but it doesn't really change the picture. So if you then look at the 12 months rolling, which is on the right side, you see then that we are on the other side, starting to approach then a bit higher, closer to 200 million in turnover, and on the sales side, we are becoming closer to 180 million. So if we conclude the quarter one, which is next page, called conclusion, we can then say that we have again received several main orders in the first quarter that we are quite happy over, and this refers this quarter, just like in quarter four last year, mainly to customers within the automated warehouse part. There's been a stable development result coming both from the order levels, of course, in Q1, but also due to the fact that we invoiced a number of the orders that came in Q4. And just like in previous quarter, there was a continued low demand for automotive, however, being compensated and more than that, I would say, then, obviously, from the automated warehouse part. In North America, we continue to develop well, and we show a continued improved result. I commented a little bit about that these there are some activities, I would say, especially in the southern part of Europe due to the coronavirus. But as a summary then of what I've said, I would say that we're quite happy to reach these good figures of orders in UK, North America, and the new markets. And this, of course, means that the factories of the Troax Group has continued to do well. And despite the fact there have been some turbulence, both with some deliveries of steel, but also with the steel prices. Obviously, no support whatsoever was recorded this quarter, just for information, and the integration of NATOM is continuing in a good way, very positive. So in total, I would say it was quite stable and positive development in the quarter, with a clearly better result than in 2020. Moving on to the growth factors, you've seen this before. There's nothing which really has been changed. So the main two factors which is driving this for the future and has been doing so for some time is, of course, then the industrial automation, which is continuing, and also, which I've said now several times, the growth in e-commerce, which is continuing to grow. And in my mind, I think this will continue for quite some time before this is starting to become a more market or mature development. Next page shows then our estimation of our market share. And we say then that we have some maybe 25% in Europe and 15% worldwide. We are approximately 2.5 times bigger than the number two competitor. But we do think that in 2020, the market was starting to, or rather it was decreasing then, obviously, for the whole year, even if the general negative effect was hit in quarter two, and thereafter it was more stabilized. With this development now in 2021, it seems, of course, much more positive than during last year. For those of you interested, you can look at the competitive situation. This is our assessment of the competition as we see it. And then next page shows our production units where we've added since last year, more or less, to the right, we have the Polish one, where we have a capacity of approximately 500,000 shells. Capacity utilization is actually quite high, so we do need to continue to increase that. And the area where we are sitting in these two factories are some close to 15,000 square meters. The others are more or less like you've heard before, so I don't need to go through that in detail. In our group, of course, we work together for a safer world. You've heard me say that before. I just want to remind that it's not only Troax, which is, of course, the core of the business, also in volume or sales and over point of view, but we also have important units that we have acquired now over the years, like Satec, which has a strong influence on the South European market. Foley otherwise a good influence on the American market, and now also NATOM Logistics, which adds different type of products to our portfolio, even if the brand NATOM is probably not so well known outside of the warehouse sector. So we are working together, obviously, for a safer tomorrow since 1955 when the company was started. And just as a few remarks, what we are working on today is for a safe tomorrow is, of course, especially on the environmental side, where we try not only to compensate and the transportation, and I've said this before, and this is perhaps not the real solution to this issue, but it's the best solution we've found so far. And then we continue to decrease our energy consumption, which we have been rather successful with 2020, especially, I would say, in the main unit in Sweden. We reached that and exceeded that, and that we have actions ongoing to further improve that. And then, of course, because that we are quite happy to have steel, or you can use steel in a recyclable way, we are in a good situation, of course, from an environmental point of view. And the biggest challenge for us, seeing them on the CO2 footprint that we are doing, is, of course, to increase the recycled steel that we buy from the steel mills in our products. And that's the best thing we can do to reduce our own footprints regarding the environmental issue. And that's something, of course, we intend to continue to do. And just as a small remark, it doesn't change the world, but nevertheless for us it's an important step. But in our complete new factory in Italy, it was started a little bit more than a year ago, approximately 50% of the energy consumption comes from solar panels which are installed on the roof. In our safety center, our R&D department are investing then in doing some more new products, obviously, and we think we have put on the market some innovative products during last year, and we do intend to continue like this. And these products are also certified by a third part in order then to safeguard that it's not only Troax who says that the products are safe, we also get certified, and by in this case, TÜV Rheinland, in order then for the customers to feel safe. So, I'm coming to towards the end of this short presentation, and soon time for questions. So, as you remember, we are protecting people, property, and processes, and you can see in this page the existing factory, one of the main factory standards we have in the group, in this case in the Swedish one, who's been expanded several times. And since we are the original, since 1955, we aim then to protect, of course, what matters, which of course is our families and relations with relatives that are important for us. That's the key to what we try to give to our customers. So with this, I'd like to thank you for listening in. And now it's up to you to put some questions. So please, Mr. Operator, if you could allow the people to open up and put some questions. I'll try my best, of course, to answer them.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. And if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, star and 1 if you wish to ask a question. And we have a question that came through, sir. Your first question comes from the line of Kenneth Tall. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, three questions. The first one is on the orders in new markets that were very strong. So is this mainly China, or are you seeing orders coming through from Japan or other countries than China as well?
We also see some orders coming in from other areas than China. So it is then in that region, but I would say that if you just look at the figures, the major part of the increase compared with last year is coming from countries outside of China.
Mm-hmm. Great. I was thinking, when we look at the increase in orders and also in sales, it's the organic increase, some of that increase should be from higher steel prices and such effects. So would you say that the increase in volume, how large is that if we try to separate it?
That's a good question, Kenneth. We don't think yet that the sales price has affected a lot. We haven't been able to calculate it yet, but I think that still it is for the first quarter. The organic growth is mainly the volume part. That will be maybe, let's call it 1-2% could be the price effect of this, what we just said. But I think the effect will be greater in second quarter compared with the first quarter. So it's a minimal effect if you just look at the organic growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the last question, you... In the fourth quarter report, you had a comment in the outlook statement saying that, well, the orders were very high in this quarter, and we are not sure that we can repeat it anytime soon. Now, in Q1, the orders were again very, very strong, but that comment you took out. So does it indicate that Q2 has started in a very strong way, or... is it just because it proved to be wrong after the fourth quarter results?
Now, it's a very, of course, a very natural question, Kenneth, you're putting. Mm. And I think still the comments we had from Q4 actually remains that we are very happy to have such a strong order intake both in Q4 last year and Q1 this year. But I think that the message we want to convey is, of course, that... this is not just reflecting then that suddenly Troax has come up to a substantially higher level. We are probably gaining some market share here and there, obviously, and we are very happy for these product orders. But these product orders, which now have for the last quarter of 2020 and first quarter of this year, has had quite, I would say, significant effect. They can't come in every quarter, so it would be wrong just to continue to say, "Oh, this is the new level now that Troax will come up to." So there will be, as I normally say, some good orders, sorry, good quarters where you will see hopefully more figures like this, but there will be some quarters where you won't see them. So I think it's a bit early days to say what the trend is pointing at. But the message is still that both Q4 and Q1 are, in our point of view, quite strong quarters in order point of view.
And the delivery times for those larger orders, could it be like around 6 months, or could it stretch even longer?
No, most of them are between 2 and 4 months, I would say, but there are a few ones expanding larger. So a big part of what we now have received will, of course, be delivered in Q2, but still some, I would say, not an important part. Sorry, still an important one will be delivered also in Q3, but of the order book we have today, very few volumes will be delivered after Q3.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Kent.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Herman Eriksson. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Thomas, and congratulations on the strong report. So just a couple of questions from me. So first of all, approximately how much of the order received during Q4 in North America and UK was converted during this quarter?
We can say as some sort of summary that let's call it a third was converted this quarter, so the main part is still to be seen in sales invoice.
Perfect. And then yet again, we see a strong order intake in both North America and UK. Is this mainly the same customers as last time, or have you entered new relationships as well?
There are both things are valid. There is both a continuation of earlier customers who are continuing to put in good order, but there are also maybe not completely new customers, but other customers which were, for instance, not putting in a bigger part of volumes in Q4, which now are putting higher amounts of bigger orders in Q1. So it's a mix of those combinations.
Yes. And also in new markets, the order intake stands out in this quarter. Would you say that this also is related to the e-commerce trend, or what has been the drivers here?
I would say that the main part in this is actually related to the e-commerce trend, if you look at this from a figure point of view.
Yeah. And then the final question is, your gross margin in the quarter was really impressive, given that Natom entering the books and also the headwind from steel prices. Are there other mix effects, or is all related to the capacity utilization?
The main thing which offsets those things, as you mentioned, was, of course, the good volume utilization and fixed cost coverage. And then, of course, we got some positive effects, at least towards the end of the quarter, when we had been able to increase prices, and that took an effect, of course, also on the invoicing. But I would say that otherwise from a product mix point of view, so there are no real significant changes. So it's a bit like business as usual.
Perfect. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Adolf Baradet. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, Thomas.
Hi, Adolf.
For a good report. To continue on this point from the last question, when we saw North America in sales up 93%, and still your gross margin growing a lot. We know that in North America, it's in terms of margin, is definitely not the same as Europe. Is it because in the US, it's the Truax brand is growing a lot and not so much Folding Guard, or is it because you succeed in growing margin for Folding Guard? Can you just explain a bit?
I think if you look at this from a sales point of view, it is so that it's the Truax brand which is growing the most, and Truax is, let's say, more healthy still than Folding Guard is. So in a way, you're quite right that has, of course, a positive mix effect, and in the US, it would have been a not that good situation if Folding Guard has been growing more instead of Truax. So it's a good mix. But also Folding Guard has done some considerable improvement in efficiency and results, so it's also helping. So it both, let's say, entities are helping to this improvement.
Okay, thanks. And then the other question will be on the automotive. You said so it's... you see that demand is slowly coming back, but it's more a 2022 story. What's the situation here? Because we see that automotive sector is investing a lot on EV. Do you see them that EV will be a big positive for you? Or
when? We could say in general terms, when the automotive invests, it's of course good for us and our competitors in general, because automotive is obviously quite an important segment. That EV is coming in, we don't really see the final conclusion, I would say, because partly it is so that EV doesn't demand so many operating phases in a line, which means then that the number of panels or the number of installed safety solutions that we offer will probably decrease a bit compared to the standard installations, but that nevertheless is not perhaps having a significant effect, but on the margin it would be a little bit lower. But then of course normally we are a little bit late in the investment process also, so we are expecting that they will come back to us and start to increase more the investment level, because just like you're saying, we also see that they are increasing now most the output, of course, obviously, but also for the investment. But I think we'll take a little bit more time, because that investment comes through to us and our type of suppliers.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Rolf.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And no further questions that came through at this time, sir. You may continue.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, good questions and your interest. We will try to work hard now with what we got and the steel price turbulence, as I said. And I look forward to meeting you then in August, when we can discuss then the development for the second quarter. So thank you very much for listening in. Take care, all of you. Have a good summer period. I'll talk to you again in August. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That concludes our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect. Speaker, kindly stand by.